This is the reading for day one of week four of START, and it's called The Sum of Our Influences. To live in reality, we must edit our streams, digital or otherwise. We must filter our mental intakes. Just like we watch carefully what we put in our bodies, few of us pick up random garbage off the sidewalk and pop it in our mouths, we must take great care with what we allow into our minds. And we must take deliberate steps to set our minds on the reality of Jesus and his mental maps. This, and this alone, will lead us into the kingdom where we will enjoy the deepest kind of life to be had. John Mark Comer. The world is a formation machine. When we give attention to something, it has an influence on us. The media we consume, the people we frequently interact with, the places we spend our time, and our hobbies and interests all shape who we are. This is not inherently good or bad. It's just a fact. It's a fact that need not scare us, but it must not be ignored. We are influenced by what we give our attention to. Our lives, for better or worse, are the sum of our influences. As G.K. Beale says, we resemble what we revere, whether to our ruin or restoration. Since this is true, we have a strong incentive to think carefully about what influences us. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." These words remind us of the importance of paying attention to what we pay attention to. We can focus on influences that will help us grow in godly wisdom and Christlikeness, but that won't happen by accident. If we don't do this, we will form into the mold of our culture. We don't get to choose to opt in to the process of being formed by the world around us. That's the default. We must intentionally opt out. We must opt out of the world's formation and opt into counterformation in the way of Jesus. We call this counterformation because it is a way of being shaped as a person that runs counter to the ways of this world. Paul speaks to this in Romans 12, where he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is the language of counterformation. Do not conform or be formed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Counterformation. When Jesus called his disciples, he invited them into a life of counterformation. In responding to this call, they placed themselves under Jesus' influence to be formed into his image and participate in his mission. This is the essence of discipleship. We reject the formative power of the world and choose to be counterformed by Jesus. To opt out of the world's formational system doesn't mean we must withdraw entirely from society. Instead, we must be mindful of where we place our attention. This leads us back to where we began. The world is a formation machine. We are formed by whatever we give our attention to. This includes people, media, stories, and ideologies. In the 21st century, our access to formative influences is seemingly limitless. We carry around vast libraries of formative content in our smartphones. But much of this content is provoking us to be angry, afraid, and suspicious of others. As research shows, this sort of content is what generates attention. We've been called to be formed not by those kinds of messages, but by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Consider this way of thinking about the activities of our lives in terms of their formative impact. If you spend a lot of time scrolling through social media, chances are you enjoy it. But don't view it as a beneficial activity. If you spend a lot of time scrolling through social media, chances are you enjoy it, but don't view it as a beneficial activity. Few of us would say social media scrolling is helping us reach our goals or contributing positively to the areas of our life that matter most to us. Seemingly, no one is actively trying to increase the time we spend doing it. But scrolling social media is easy, passive, moderately entertaining, and emotionally provocative. It's no wonder we find ourselves reverting to it so often. So how do we reduce the time we spend on it? There are two approaches we can take. One option is to try to motivate ourselves to change by willpower, guilt, or shame. We can tell ourselves things like, I shouldn't do this, or this is bad, I need to stop. That may work for some personalities, but that approach won't lead to lasting change for most of us. Another option is asking ourselves, how do I want to be formed, and how is social media forming me? This will help us realize that social media scrolling has a formative effect on us. It's influencing the person we are becoming, the way we think about the world, and what we value, and that influence probably isn't positive. It is most certainly interfering with our spiritual and relational growth, and it likely isn't helping us grow in areas that are meaningful to us. Activities like scrolling will lose their appeal when we realize they are not forming us into the type of person we want to be. There is no guilt or shame in this process. It simply requires that we consider how we want to be shaped and how that aligns with what we allow to shape us. Philosopher and theologian James K.A. Smith says, "Christian worship, we should recognize, is essentially a counterformation to those rival stories that we are often immersed in, cultural practices that covertly capture our loves and longings, miscalibrating them, orienting us to rival versions of the good life." Philosopher and theologian James K.A. Smith says, "Christian worship, we should recognize, is essentially a counterformation to those rival stories that we are often immersed in, cultural practices that covertly capture our loves and longings, miscalibrating them and orienting us to rival versions of the good life." In other words, worship forms us in a different direction. Worship and spiritual disciplines help us see the poverty of these rival versions of the good life that our culture presents to us. And it enables us to be shaped and molded by Jesus instead of the voices and influences of our culture. Worship is the ultimate counterformational practice. If our lives are indeed the sum of our influences, we must be mindful of the influences that shape us. And we must consider how to train ourselves so that our loves and habits align with the way of Jesus. As we begin this week of readings about counterformation, we will start by examining our influences. As you look at how you spend your time and attention, what influences you the most? The purpose of this exercise is not to induce guilt or shame. Instead, it is to take an honest look at our lives to determine if our influences are shaping us in a manner that is consistent with who we desire to become. For example, if we devote little to no time to spiritual practices outside of a few church services each month, but instead spend several hours listening to talk radio every day, our values and behaviors will almost certainly reflect those of our favorite talk radio host of choice more than those of Jesus Christ. In this example, we could substitute social media, sports, television, or any other medium for talk radio. None of these things are inherently bad, but they are formative. Our time and attention are a significant part of our formation, and if we are not intentional, we will be shaped by influences that lead us away from the way of Jesus and instead towards the anxiety, fear, and anger that is all too common in our culture. We live in a world that is a formation machine, but Jesus meets us in that world and invites us to pursue counterformation, where the kingdom of God shapes us. If we are to walk with the wisdom that Paul describes in Ephesians 5, we must begin by assessing the current state of our walk. We have nothing to fear in this assessment. There is no guilt or shame. There is only opportunity. Remember, God only meets us in reality, so we can be honest about our current reality, knowing that God will meet us there with kindness and mercy. We can be confident that the Holy Spirit will guide us as we seek to reduce the influence of cultural forces in our lives, allowing us to follow His leading more fully and delight in His counter-formational influence. These questions can help us in assessing what's forming us now. First, what is shaping my thinking? If we are to resist worldly formation, we must be clear-eyed about what is influencing our thinking. This does not mean we must be paranoid or consume only overtly Christian content. It means we must guard our hearts, Proverbs 4:23, and consider what we are letting in. Second, what is shaping my demeanor? As stated above, there is a significant amount of content in the world today that encourages us to be angry and argumentative. There is wisdom in limiting our exposure to that kind of content, as it will not produce in us the fruits of the Spirit. Third, how specifically does the gospel influence my thinking and decision-making? One way to determine how much something has changed our lives is to examine how much it has influenced our behavior. As you look at how you view the world and make decisions, can you point to ways you think differently because of the work of the gospel in your life? If you've been a Christian for most of your life, it might be a little harder to discern this because you might have little memory of anything else. But it is still a helpful exercise. Lastly, have I been formed more by worldly values than kingdom values? We've said it before and we'll repeat it. The world is a formation machine. There is no shortage of worldly ideologies and philosophies seeking our allegiance. Some of them, particularly in media and politics, will even use Christian language to secure the loyalty of Christians. While forming us in distinctly anti-Christian ways. We must take a sober-minded look at ourselves and our influences to determine how we have been shaped by those seeking power, money, or prestige, rather than by Jesus. My response: take a few minutes to reflect on the four questions above. Consider journaling your answers. In your own words, how would you describe counterformation in the way of Jesus?